Now we're going to have a Bible reading just now from the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read all of the chapter together. There's four little books there towards the end of the New Testament, and they all begin with the letter T, and that's how I find 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then the little book of Titus. And so hopefully that will help you to find the portion that we're looking at tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're reading from verse number 1. Paul, of course, the apostle here, writing from a prison cell in the city of Rome to a young pastor, a young preacher by the name of Timothy. That's obviously where the book gets its title, the Epistle to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute Prissa and Aquila to the household and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus aboard at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. And indeed, amen. We know that the Lord will bless, as he always does, this reading of his inspired word. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 21, just the first part of the verse. And really it's an invitation that Paul is extending to Timothy, and tonight I want to apply it in the gospel to those of you who perhaps the Lord has been speaking to in recent days. And time is drawing to a close, and the Word of God comes to our hearts tonight, and the challenge and the call would be tonight, do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come before winter. I pray tonight that if you don't know the Lord, that you'll come before winter. As this year draws to a close and we approach the winter time of life, that you'll do your diligence, come to Christ, and get right with God. Let's seek the Lord in a word of prayer together, please. Loving Father, we thank thee for the call of the gospel. We thank thee for the peculiar working of thy Spirit. And tonight, Father, I pray for thy glory. And in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that thy precious Holy Spirit will come and speak into the deep recesses of the human heart. Lord, the human voice can reach the ears, perhaps even the intellect, but only thy Spirit can reach the heart. And Father, I cry unto thee for the Savior's sake, that thou wilt send thy Spirit. Anoint the preacher, let my name perish, but Lord, use this earthen vessel just to be a channel whereby the Spirit of God can freely flow. I pray that thou wilt speak to the youngest, to the oldest, to everyone in between. And I pray, Lord God, that there will be divine encounters tonight as the Lord speaks face to face with those that are still halting between two opinions. Give them grace, Lord, to come before winter. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, by the time he wrote this letter to Timothy, was an old man. In fact, this was the last letter that Paul wrote, and he wrote it from a prison cell in the city of Rome. You see, friends, tonight, in the year 64 AD, there was a large fire that swept through the city of Rome, destroying everything in its path and leaving behind it a wake of ashes. That fire in Rome raged for 6 days and for 6 nights. Nero was the Roman emperor at that time, and history tells us that most people in Rome and in the Roman Empire suspected Nero as organizing a conspiracy and lighting the fire himself, or at the very least, arranging for that fire to be lit. Because the pressure was on Nero, he got the pressure off himself by blaming the Christian people for starting the fire. The result was that Christians at that time became despised. Nero relished in this, and he was a very cruel man, and he had all these different ways of putting Christians to death. Many of them were crucified in the same way in which the Savior was crucified. Some of them were even crucified upside down. Historians tell us that animal skins, bear skins, and wolf skins were taken, and Christians were taken against their will, and the bear skins and the animal skins were sewn outside the body of the Christians, and then they were thrown to the lions. Some Christians were even used as torches and were literally burned alive and lit the streets of Rome at night as the city was rebuilt from the ground up. Some of them were thrown into prisons and into dungeons to be beheaded. And that's the case with the Apostle Paul. As a Roman citizen and as a child of God, he was thrown into prison. And history tells us that Paul himself lost his head in the same way in which John the Baptist did. And this is something that Paul seems to be entirely aware of. If you look at verse number 6, he writes to Timothy and says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And so the man of God, in the closing moments of his life, begins to write a letter to Timothy, knowing that time is short, knowing that his life is fast drawing to a close, knowing that he's going to be martyred for the sake of the gospel. And it was in that prison cell at Rome that he wrote his last ever letter to a young preacher, to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. He was a young man. Paul said to him, "Let no man despise thy youth." And as a young man, Timothy had sought and found the Lord. His mother was a godly woman, as was his grandmother, and they had brought him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and the result was that Timothy became a preacher. He didn't have a testimony like the Apostle Paul's. He didn't live a riotous life before he got saved. We don't come to the conclusion that he was a drunkard or he was an alcoholic. And sometimes young people feel it to be used of God. They have to have this elaborate testimony. Well, Timothy was just brought up in a Christian home and was taught the scriptures and obeyed the things he learned and went on with God and was saved from a life of sin and endeavored to be of use to the Lord. Now, humanly speaking, there was so much to discourage Paul in the prison cell. Well, he was there in the prison cell. It wouldn't be an encouraging place to be. His life was going to draw to a close. He was living in days of apostasy, days whenever the word of God was being undermined, days whenever they were not enduring sound doctrine, and people were heaping them to themselves teachers because they had itching ears, and these teachers would just tell the professing believers just exactly what they wanted to hear. And then there was people that had been with Paul for a season but had left him. And in a prison cell, he laments this fact. He speaks about a man in verse 10 called Demas. And you can read elsewhere in Scripture of how Demas faithfully witnessed with Paul, but then there came a time in his life whenever Demas forsook Paul and threw in his guns and threw down the towel and just went back into the world and had a love for ease and a love for pleasure. And then there's another man we read off in verse 14, a coppersmith by the name of Alexander. And we're told that he did Paul much evil. And he withstood Paul's words. And it seems to me that everywhere Paul went and everywhere preached, there was this man following him called Alexander that despised the message of the gospel and undermined everything that Paul said. And there's people like that in the world tonight. And so Paul writes to Timothy just before he goes into eternity. And he invites Timothy to come. Now, there's several reasons Paul invites Timothy to come. First of all, because I believe that Paul, as an old dying man, just had a desire for companionship. He wanted Timothy to come and encourage him. And so he says in verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Come as soon as you can. Don't waste any time. I need encouragement, Timothy. This is difficult for me. And I know as a young man you'll be able to encourage me in the things of God." Not only that, but he also had counsel to give Timothy. There was so much that Paul wanted to say to Timothy, but he didn't have time to write it all down. So he says, "Timothy, best come and I'll tell you face to face and we can have fellowship together." And he wanted to encourage the young Christian. Maybe some of the older saints tonight could be involved in that. Young converts, young believers, some here tonight. I would encourage the old saints just to encourage them to go through with God. Paul also had some material needs. Verse 13, he says, "Bring the cloak, bring my books, and bring my parchments." And coming into the winter, Paul would have needed a cloak as he languished there in the prison cell. And so Timothy must come as soon as possible. As it says in verse 21, Paul says, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." You see, seasons come and seasons go, don't they? Especially in Northern Ireland, it seems that by the end of June, your summer's almost over. And you're coming into the autumn, and then the autumn doesn't last that long, and then we're facing a long, hard, and a cold winter. Summer's drawing to a close. The days are getting shorter. The sun is setting in the sky earlier and earlier every night, and the days are shorter and the nights are longer. And I just wonder tonight, is there somebody in the meeting here? And God's message, God's word to you, is the same as Paul's message to Timothy. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Time is passing on. We're fast approaching the winter of 2010. And God's message to you is come before winter, because only God knows what the winter has in store for any of us. Time is short. You need to get saved now. And God says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Not only the winter of 2010, but perhaps there are some that are fast approaching the winter time of life. Summertime is drawing to a close. The body's beginning to slow down and you can't just do the things that you used to do. Maybe the hearing is starting to go. The sight is starting to go. Your memory's not as good as it was. And the faculties aren't just as sharp as they used to be. And so God says to you, do thy diligence to come before winter. You must come before winter, friends. I just want to speak in this little text, come before winter. And I want to say some very, very simple things about this verse of Scripture. I want you to consider the sincerity of Paul's request. Paul makes this request and he says, Timothy, I want you to come. And I want you to come before winter. Now, Paul was sincere when he said this. This wasn't just lip service, but this was a genuine, authentic invitation. The man in the prison cell genuinely wanted Timothy to come and to be with him. It's not like the invitation sometimes that we throw out in Northern Ireland and we meet somebody in the street and we say, sure, come and see me sometime. And perhaps if we're honest, we don't really want them to come at all and we're just being polite and maybe we're not being all that sincere. And we really hope that they don't come, but Paul is taking time to write a letter to Timothy. And the closing words of the letter are these, Timothy, come as soon as you can. Come and encourage me. Come and fellowship with me. Timothy, I've got messages for you. There's things I want from you. There's things I want to do for you. And so come as soon as you can. In fact, come shortly. Come before winter. Come now. Paul is earnest, and so it is with God. Whenever God invites men and women to come to himself, his invitation is sincere. He doesn't call any person to mock them. He doesn't call you to waste your time. He doesn't call you and then say, well, I'm not going to let you in whenever you come. He doesn't call you to mock you. He doesn't call you to waste your life or to ruin your life. But the call of God is earnest. The call of God is genuine. The call of God is sincere. You see, friends, the Bible says tonight that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so whenever we read in the Bible, in Acts 17:30, that at times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, God is sincere. God means what he says. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he was sincere. Whenever he said, come, for all things are now ready, he was earnest. Whenever the Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, God is being genuine. And maybe tonight you're in this meeting and you're not converted. And God is speaking to you genuinely, earnestly, sincerely, and he's saying, do thy diligence to come before winter. And it's sincere. Romans 10:21, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to disobedient and to gainsaying people. God stretched forth his hands to Israel. Why? Just for the sake of it? Just so he could say, well, I've done my part? Or did he stretch forth his hands because he genuinely wanted to save them and to bless them? I believe he was sincere. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. And friend, tonight, the reason that you're not converted is because you haven't come to Christ. And the Lord invites you sincerely, earnestly. Do you think whenever the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that God doesn't really mean that? And whenever the Lord said in John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, that he doesn't really mean it. Friends, God means what he says. And the fact that you're here tonight in the providence of God in this meeting, and this word is being preached, and the preacher has prayed about what he preaches on, and this is the burden of my heart. God's sincere. Do you think whenever God said to Abraham concerning Sodom and Gomorrah that if I find 10 righteous people in the city, I'll spare it, that God didn't mean that? Or whenever the Bible talks about the long suffering of God in the days of Noah, whenever the ark was in preparation for over 100 years, that God wasn't sincere whenever the door was open and he sent Noah as a preacher, that God wouldn't have saved those people if they had come? Or whenever Jonah went down to Nineveh, Jonah didn't want to preach to the Ninevites because he didn't like them. He knew that the Lord is long-suffering. He knew that God is merciful. He knew that God was sincere. He says, I know, Lord, that you will repent of the evil that you sought to do that today if I preach the gospel, and so I didn't. God was earnest. God was sincere. Friends, God wouldn't have sent his son to die on a cross. God wouldn't have given us a Bible. God wouldn't have let reformers and martyrs be burned at stakes. God wouldn't send preachers. God wouldn't allow a house like this in Coleraine and his word to be open if God wasn't sincere in inviting you to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come before winter. The sincerity of Paul's request. Do thy diligence to come before winter. The simplicity of Paul's request. It's simple. Timothy didn't open this letter and get to this last few verses and read the words, do thy diligence to come before winter, and sit and scratch his head and say, now what does that mean? It's simple. Come before winter. Timothy knew what that meant. Couldn't misunderstand it. Paul's in Rome. He's in a prison cell. He's in stocks, he's a bondman, he's going to go to the cross to be crucified himself, or to be beheaded, or to go to the gallows and be hung, the time of his departure, and he's not going to go anywhere. Paul's in Rome, and he tells me to come to him. He wants me to come to Rome, and he wants me to go to Paul, and he wants me to go to the prison. Simple, easy to understand, and it's a simple request. Timothy just had to come as he was, drop what he was doing, make arrangements, and come. And friends, it's the same with the gospel. You know the word of God says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion. God has made it simple. The gospel, essentially, is simple. Now you get people and they say to me, I don't read the Bible because it's so complicated. Friends, it's the message, essentially, of the word of God is simple. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he says, this is the gospel that I delivered unto you, by which also ye are saved, unless you have believed in vain, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel message. Christ died for our sins, and if we want our sins dealt with, what do? We quite simply come to Christ. That's all God asks us, come to Christ. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What does God ask us to do? He just says, come. Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsteth. Is there somebody tonight in our meeting and you're thirsty? You're hungry. You've tried everything, whether it's gambling, or drink, or religion, or the loyal orders, or the bands, or whatever it is, whether it's business, or money, or relationships, you're not satisfied, you're still thirsty. Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy wine and milk without money and without price. Just come. That's the call of God, the same to Noah. Come thou and all thy family, all thy household, into the ark. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Gospel of Luke 14:17. Come, for all things are now ready. And then the closing verses of the Bible, Revelation 22:17. Come, the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come. Again and again and again. Simple. Come. Come to Christ. It's simple. You see, it's a simple command, just a single syllable word. Come. Friend, you can teach a dog to come. A child knows to come whenever its mother calls it. Might not come, but it knows what the parent means. It's simple. It is religion and denominations and the dogmas and the doctrines of men that make salvation seem so complicated. But yet God says, come. You know, it's complicated sometimes trying to join a church. It's complicated sometimes even trying to join a bank or a gym. You have to bring everything with you, your birth certificate. You have to bring your passport, your driver's license. It'll not be long before they're asking you to bring your death certificate as well. All this form of identification. And God says, if you want to be joined to Christ, if you want to be a member of the true church of Jesus Christ, what do? You just come to Christ, just as you are. Without one plea. Him that cometh to me, the Lord says, I will in no wise cast out. Will you say, how do I come? Well, how did Timothy come? Timothy just came as he was. Do thy diligence to come before winter. There was no conditions attached. He didn't say, well, Timothy, make sure whenever you come that you're wearing this and your hair's a certain length and make sure that you smell nice and make sure that you've had a good shave and make sure that you do this, that, and the other. No, Timothy, just you come. I just want you to come just as you are. You say, how do I come to Christ? Same way. Just as you are. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. You say, I'll come when I'm older. No, come before winter. You say, I'll come whenever I've dealt with this habit. No, come before winter. You say, I'll come after I get married. No, come before winter. You say, I'll come whenever I've raised my family. No, come before winter. You say, I'll come whenever I've enjoyed the pleasures of this world. No, the Bible says, you're to come now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Timothy was to come just as he was, and he was also to come to a certain place. He was to come to Rome. Now, Rome was the center of the Roman Empire, one of the largest cities in the world at that time. And it was said, but like somebody saying, come to Belfast, capital of our country. Simple. I know where to go. He wants me to go to Belfast. He wants me to go to Rome. He wants me to go to London, wherever it is. Come to Rome. Don't be going somewhere else. Come to Rome. And we're to come to the cross. We're to come to Calvary. The Bible doesn't say that you're to come to the Free Presbyterian Church or the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church or the Brethren Hall or the Mission Hall or the Tent Mission. No, the Bible says come to the cross. Come to Calvary. Come to the place where sin can be dealt with and sin can be washed away. And Timothy also knew that not only was he to come as he was and the place where he was to come, but he was to come to a person, Paul. He had to come to Paul. That was the only person that was inviting him. That was the only person that had sent him a letter. That was the only person who had sent a request. And friends, you have to come to Christ. If I can help you, or if any other person here can help you, well and good, we are your servants for Christ's sake. But it's not the preacher you need, it's the Lord. Come to Christ. Come to this person. You say, well, I can't see him. Well, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see Christ with my physical eyes, but I can see him with the eye of faith. Crucified on a cross, dying for me, shedding his blood. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him. And on that cross, folks, 2,000 years ago, he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you tonight. Christ died on the cross for sinners. And by faith I come to this man. I come to the place which is called Calvary. I come just as I am. and I experience God's forgiveness. The simplicity of Paul's request. But let me say something about the seriousness of Timothy's response. You see, Paul says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come. Now, the command is simple. But coming might not be so easy. Let me say that again. The commandment is simple, but coming might not be so easy. That's why Paul says, do diligence, because he knows that Timothy is busy. He knows that Timothy's not lying about the house, lying in bed, just hoping somebody's going to come and pick him up and take him off. They know Timothy's got a multitude of tasks to do. He's got a church to look after. He's got a mother and a grandmother that are getting well on in years. Timothy's a busy young man. And that's why Paul says, give diligence. It might not be easy to come. It is simple. All you have to do is come. But you might have to change your plans, Timothy. If you look at your calendar, Timothy, and if it's like yours or like mine, there's maybe certain things that you have got planned between now and winter, Timothy. And if you're going to come to me, some of those things are going to have to wait. And you're going to have to change your plans a little bit. And maybe tonight you're not saved and you know that it's simple, you have to come, but it's a serious thing. There's a response that needs to be made, and Paul says we're to be diligent about this. Maybe tonight there's an old habit. You say, well, I can't kick it. Well, you need to be willing to confess it. Maybe a relationship outside of marriage, and it needs to go. And there's sin that needs to be repented of. You say, well, that's going to be difficult. And friends, it might be. But you need to repent of it and come to Christ. You know, it was difficult as well, not only because he might have to change his arrangements and change his lifestyle, but it was also difficult because Timothy, as a Christian, was going into the Roman Empire where Christians were being killed and being crucified and being burned and having their heads chopped off and being hung in gallows and being thrown to the lions. And Paul says, Timothy, you come down to Rome as well. I'm sure Timothy was scared. Paul, I've got my whole life ahead of me. You want me to come to Rome and risk it all just to come and see you? And identify myself with a man that is hated? That's exactly what Paul was saying. And friends, the gospel is simple, but let's be honest. It's not popular in the eyes of the world to identify yourself with a person that was crucified upon a cross. And yet that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross, and let him follow me. If any man will come to me and come after me, he must deny himself. He must die to self by taking up his cross, and he must devote himself by following after the Lord. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. And that, friends, is not easy in this present world in which we live. Now, I know that as Paul said here, that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned aside to fables. Now the message of the gospel is come to Christ. I don't take up the cross. Don't become fanatical. Don't give yourself to prayer. Don't forsake your sin, but come to Christ and bring all your baggage with you, and you can still go to heaven. Friends, the message of the gospel is repent. Turn from your sin. Come to Christ. Identify yourself with the Word of God and with a crucified Savior, and whatever the cost is, to reputation, to relationships, to your own personal plans and ambitions, it's do thy diligence to come before winter. There's no easy believism here. While it's simple, it's not easy. That's why the Lord himself said in Luke 13:24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many shall seek to enter in, but they'll not be able. Do you know why the gate is straight? It's just straight enough for a man to get through as he is without his baggage. The sin has to be left at that gate, friend, before we can enter in. You see, the reality is that many have a very lax and carefree attitude with regards to their soul. Well, I'll get saved sometime. Maybe the Lord will give me a little window of opportunity on my deathbed in the winter time of life, right at the end of winter. Well, friend, do thy diligence to come before winter. There ought to be an urgency about this. Paul's saying, Timothy, everything else can wait. This is a priority. And so it is with coming to Christ. It's a serious matter. Other things can wait. You say, oh, preacher, but I've got a marriage, an unsaved partner, I would need to wait until they come. No, you do diligence to come before winter. Well, preacher, I'm busy with my employment, I'm busy with my work, and once things settle down, I'll come. No, friend, do thy diligence to come before winter. Whatever it is that's keeping you back from Christ, friend, forsake it. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Never give yourself the benefit of the doubt. You see, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1 verse 10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You know what that means? It means make it abundantly sure in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own conscience that you're really saved. This is a serious matter. God commands men to come. God Almighty, speaking into your heart and into your life tonight, and he says, come. Don't let another year draw to a close without getting right with God. Don't wait until 2011, 2012, 2015. Friend, there might not be a 2011 for any of us. Do thy diligence to come before winter. What better reason to come than the very fact that God Almighty, the creator of the ends of the earth, the creator and sustainer of all things, a God that looks out upon a world, and the word of God says that the inhabitants thereof are like grasshoppers, thousands and thousands upon thousand, upon million, upon billions of people. And tonight, this Almighty God is inviting you, and he's saying, come. Come before winter. You say, well, why do I have to come before winter? Lastly, because of the season of Paul's request. The sincerity. Timothy, come. Do thy diligence. Come. I want you. I want you to come. The simplicity of the request. Timothy, just come. That's all I'm asking you to do. The seriousness of Timothy's response, give diligence. But lastly, the season of Paul's request, come before winter. In other words, Timothy, time is short. This is the last letter that I'm ever going to write to you. I wrote 1 Timothy. I'm writing to you again. But you have to come now. Because winter is not a good time for travel. I think we all know that. It's not a good time for navigation. Timothy says, well, I'll come in the middle of the winter. I'll come at the end of the winter. I'll just be lax about this. I'll not come now. I'll come at some other time. It's not going to be easy for Timothy to postpone this. I was traveling up to Limavady in the month of January. You know what the roads were like? And it wasn't too good for traveling. In fact, the little Golf went off the road one day and ended up in a mechanic shop for about a week, because winter time is not a great time for traveling. All the ships would be in port because it was too dangerous for sailing. And Timothy might not get an opportunity to come during the winter, so he had to come before winter. Friend, don't leave salvation until the winter time of life. People say, I'll get saved some other time, but not tonight. I hear it all the time, people you speak to. Do you ever think of getting right with God? Do you ever think about getting saved? Do you know what you need to be saved? Would you like to? Well, I think about it. And yes, perhaps someday. And they're leaving salvation to the winter time of life. But you know, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It tells us that in Ecclesiastes 12:1. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a very young person tonight. Well, you might not be, but I'll tell you something. You'll never be any younger than you are tonight. You've got as young as you're going to get. And therefore, you should remember now thy Creator. Paul says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Life's a drag. While the sun, or the light of the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In other words, remember Christ in the summertime of life. Don't put it off to the wintertime. Don't put it off to the days whenever the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves, the grinders shall cease because of you. You know what that means? That means whenever your teeth begin to fall out. And you're not getting up in the morning and reaching for the Sterident and putting the false teeth back in. Paul says, don't leave salvation until then. Don't give God the fag end of your life. Get right with God tonight. Don't leave it to the winter time of life. Come now while you've got your faculties. Come now whenever you've got clearness of mind. You know, I visit hospitals and old people's homes. And I see people. And you know, folks, the reality is, unless something miraculous happens, they'll never get saved. They're still in the land of the living, but you know, they don't have their faculties. They can't hear. They can't think. They can't reason. They can't respond. Their minds aren't clear. They don't know what you're talking about. That's why the Word of God says, do thy diligence to come before winter. God has set the borders of the earth, we're told in Psalm 74, summer and winter. And maybe you're fast approaching the winter time of life. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come before the winter of this year. Come now. You might not see the winter of 2010. The Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You see, the reality is as well that Paul will probably not be there in the winter himself. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. Therefore, Timothy, if you want to come and see me, you'd need to come before winter, because Timothy, the reality is, by the time the winter comes, I'm going to be in eternity. I'm going to be with the Lord. And so, Timothy, if you want to come to me, you've just got a small window of opportunity. Don't waste it. Come before winter. Do you think, in all honesty, that you can get right with God? That you can get saved, that you can put your life right with God, that you can deal with sin at some other time in your life, whenever you decide to come? Well, let me remind you of the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25. Five were wise, they had oil in their lamps, their wicks were trimmed, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. The other five were foolish, they weren't ready, they didn't have oil in their lamps, the oil of the Spirit in their lives. And yet, whenever they went out, oh, they were able to find the bridegroom's house. They were even able to knock on the door. And they were even able to hear the bridegroom's voice. But you know what the voice was? No. The door's closed. You're not coming in. The opportunity's gone. Same thing in Luke 14. None of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. They made all their excuses. And even if they had come at the winter time, at the midnight hour, they wouldn't have got in. Because there is a line unseen by man. It crosses every path. It is a hidden line that divides God's mercy from God's wrath. What if Timothy was to come and knock the door of the prison house? The old jailer comes and says, who are you? He says, I'm Timothy. I'm coming to see Paul. Paul's gone. Paul's not here. You should have come sooner. You should have come before winter. We read in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, about the bridegroom knocking the door of the bride's house. And she makes all these excuses about why she's not going to come to the door. She says, I've put my coat off, I've cleaned up the house, I've done all these different things, but he kept knocking. And then eventually she pulls herself out of her bed and she goes to the door and she opens the door and she just looks out into the darkness of night. Says, my beloved had withdrawn himself. O sinner, God's patience may weary someday. Leave thy sad soul in the blast, for how do you know but you've drifted away over the deadline at last. Paul would never send Timothy another letter again. And maybe tonight this is God's letter to you. This is God's time for you. This is God's meeting for you. And God says, come before winter. God will never speak to you again if you don't come tonight. Genesis 6:3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Don't take comfort that you're a backslider if you know right well you're not walking with God. I feel that hell is populated tonight with people who thought they were saved and felt it was acceptable to live their life as a so-called backslider. And every time they heard the call of God, they were able to look back to a little date in the back of their Bible that counted for nothing. Do thy diligence to come before winter. You see, the sooner Timothy came, the better, the more time he would have to spend with Paul. And I meet people quite often in life, and whether they're saved when they're young or saved when they're older, so often they say, you know, I just wish I'd get saved when I was younger. Just wish I'd more time to serve the Lord. Wish I'd given God my youth. Wish I'd given God the summertime of my life, but you know, I just put it off. And yes, they're saved, but in a sense, there's regrets. Friend, do thy diligence to come before winter. Don't be like Felix. Paul stood before Felix before he wrote this letter to Timothy, and Felix was a great governor in Rome, and Paul reasoned with him from the scriptures of righteousness, of temperance, of judgment to come. The Bible says as he reasoned thus, Felix trembled. And he was on the brink of coming to Christ, coming before winter. And then he says, Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. We never read of Felix in the Bible again. That was the most convenient season that he ever had. It would never have been easier for Felix to have got converted than it was at that moment of time, while he was under the word of God, while there was a man before him that could lead him to the Lord, and while he was troubled about his soul and under conviction of sin. And let me tell you, friend, humanly speaking, it will never be easier for you to get saved and come to Christ than it is tonight. You say, well, sure, you're having a mission, aren't you? That's right. I'll come to it. Well, I trust you will. But what if you don't make it? What if you do come and your heart's hard? You're not troubled. You don't care. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Lest you say, like Jeremiah, the harvest is past, the summer's ended, and I'm not saved. Friend, will you come tonight? I believe God's speaking. I'm convinced of that. And I believe there are people in this meeting tonight, and you know who you are, and you're standing on the brink, and your heart's racing, and you know that God is speaking to your heart tonight. Today. today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Do your diligence. Come before winter. Don't go into 2011 without God. Come before winter. Let's pray.